Tim, you came back.
I didn't have much choice, but I do feel like a person again. I feel relaxed.
We all have choices. It sounds like you made the right one. You know, before we check in, I want to apologize for yesterday. I've put some thought into our chat, and I realize that I may have pushed you too far. And for that, I'm sorry. I have goals that I've been planning for a long time, but it's wrong to assume that you'll go along with them.
I'm surprised you said that. I appreciate that.
So, once we have the meeting, you can just meet with them and be on your way. We won't need anything else from you.
Wait, you said I'd have consistent check-ins, and in case someone went through the same procedure, that they could see that I was fine and
check the data. Yes, I did say that. And yes, they could use the data from those check-ins, but it's a very low priority. Besides, you seem to be against the monitoring.
Well, I was still processing everything, but you told me that you're trying to limit the influence of certain bad people. I thought about it when I was outside. It's pretty high-level stuff, but it sounds reasonable. It sounds like something that needs to happen.
It's okay.
What's okay?
If you're not interested in the plan, you won't be required to help.
But I kept my promise. I came back, and now I kind of thought about it. I didn't say anything to anybody.
Oh, you didn't run around telling the world about the secret group pulling the strings behind the scenes on a global scale?
No, I'm
sure you didn't.
Why are you gaslighting me here? You said you needed my help.
I think I overestimated how crucial you were to this process.
But you were going to tell me about your face. That's what I need to know. It's healed now. Why do I know it? It looks familiar.
My face is no longer your concern. I'll see you in the meeting in a few weeks. Have a good day.
Just tell me who it is.
Tim, I'll get you back to your room.
I don't want to sit back and watch movies all day. It's just...
You don't have to. You can also read.
That's true, but why did Max brush me off like that?
I'm not sure, but from what I gather, you were pretty adamant about getting away. How this was all too much for you.
I just needed a mental health day.
So now you want to know everything.
Look, this has been 2 years of my life. I helped him. I did everything.
He won't hurt you if that's what you're worried about. I know what's in his heart. You'll be safe when all of this is said and done.
Is he really doing this for a good reason?
Sometimes life isn't just about right and wrong or good and bad. It can be a gray area where even if things may not seem better, you know you made a difference by preventing something worse. Things can always get off track. But I learned a long time ago, sometimes you just need to keep running.
Tell him I want another chance. I want to talk to him. I need to talk to him again.
I'll see what I can do. In the meantime, enjoy your books.
Damn it.
Max, we have the materials ready. They weren't easy to procure.
Good. These personal items will go a long way to giving my face credibility. I know you went to great lengths, and it's appreciated.
Do you really think people will believe you are who you claim to be? I mean, this could be a hard sell.
Maybe yes, and maybe no. I keep thinking back to when you're a kid, and you live in a world full of wonder and surprises. But as adults, we search for logic, and we ask, what's the secret? But what if you could just bring back magic and wonder to everyone, even for a moment? At a time of great mistrust and anxiety, a person makes a miraculous return from a cryogenic suspension chamber with a promise to fill the world with wonder again.
You think you can pass off as him? How will you explain the timeline?
The cryo timeline writes itself. In the early 1960s, a man named Robert Edinger founded the cryonics movement and authored a book called The Prospect of Immortality.
Over 60 years ago.
Then in June 1965, another member of this movement, E.V. Cooper, founded the Life Extension Society, which explored short-term freezing in cryogenic suspension. I've prepared some documentation for you to share regarding a man named James Bedford, the first person to ever be cryogenically frozen in 1967.
Those dates, they may just match up. 1967, that lines up perfectly. We're only off by a year. That's close.
Not a year, my good man. James Bedford was frozen on January 12th, 1967.
12, 15, 66?
Just a few weeks after December 15th, 1966.
I'll start on this right away.
The day that Walt Disney died. Obsessed with the future, buying land in secret, rumored to be frozen in a few short weeks before all of a sudden, the first person in history is cryogenically frozen.
Are you suggesting Bedford is actually Disney?
No. I'm just saying that it's interesting how Disney was rumored to be frozen. And then suddenly, the first person in history to ever be frozen was mysteriously announced a few weeks after his death. Would it be a stretch to believe that technology already existed?
I think I can make this work. This actually might have legs. I'll prep the Boundless Citizens to release the information when it's ready.
There are 8 billion people on this planet right now. So many of them are lost. If I can return to this world and make them believe that I am him, then people will start to consider the process of my full plan.
How so?
I don't need the world to believe. I only need a portion of the world to ask the question about whether or not I am truly him. That's enough to set my plan in motion.
The Boundless Citizens have proved useful. These are dark times. It might be the perfect opportunity for someone from the past to return. But are you sure this is the best way to get your message out?
I'll reveal the great unfreezing of our long COVID patients and let the world see that this technology truly exists. And by using this face and a modified voice, they'll see this process is safe. But do not release the information until I give you the go-ahead.
I suppose the world needs something to believe in.
Thank you. Even I was skeptical about funding the creation of a network of conspiracy theorists. You've gone above and beyond.
I'm on it.
Max, the doctor did her part. We have enough serum to successfully unfreeze everyone when the time is right.
Thank you.
Your face, it's finally healed.
Yes. Maybe it can do some good now.
I think it will. That's why we believe in you.
We're in the endgame now. All the pieces are in place.
Of course. One side note, Tim said he wants to talk to you. Mm. With your meeting coming up, it might make sense.
All right, Beth, make it happen. I just hope he's more receptive to the possibility of our plan. Thank you for your loyalty.
Always.
Max, thanks for seeing me. I just felt like we had unfinished business. You kept me here this long, and then right at the end, you dismissed me. I've been here for so long, and against my better judgment, I keep thinking about your plan. I think it can work.
Let's just hold off on that plan for a moment. I want to ask, what are you going to do with all that money that you've been promised?
I haven't thought about it.
Well, that's just because we've had to keep you here to fulfill the final part of our agreement. But you'll be out soon with a guaranteed payment for the next 27 years. Do you plan to start a family? Or support a worthwhile cause?
I guess so. I need to think about it.
The money will help, though, right?
Like I said, I'm not motivated by money.
Yeah. I know. Tim, what motivates you?
Purpose.
Yeah. Another generic purpose answer. It's the reason so many good people left my previous organization, because they went out searching for a purpose.
But purpose does matter.
What is purpose?
Waking up every morning knowing that you've made a difference.
And what does that difference look like?
Knowing that you've done something that matters.
Okay. If something is broken and you wake up every day to fix it, would you agree you might have purpose?
Yes.
You may feel like you're fixing things, but if you replace the same broken part once and for all, so it no longer needs to be repaired, you've made a tremendous difference. But you also removed someone's purpose.
Is that what you think you're doing? Your purpose is trying to replace that broken part for
everyone? I'm just asking. How do you know what matters?
Just know.
I know it hasn't happened in the way you expect. But working with me, I promise you've made a difference in ways you can only imagine.
When I think about how you gave me that knowledge transfer, it's amazing. I was scared almost the entire time, but I'm not afraid anymore. And I think something about you, I think that constant fear that I felt, I think that came from you. I think that's how you feel, Max.
I'm afraid constantly. I won't lie about that. Afraid of things that few could imagine.
But what if you're letting that fear control you and the decisions and choices you're making?
Tim, I don't often talk about this, but I have an estranged son. He left for many reasons, but I know that I drove him away. in some ways, our conversations remind me of when I used to talk to him.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. Most of my interactions are transactional now. I need something from someone else. They want something from me. There are some who believe in me, but I can't share my true reasons.
What are your true reasons?
Well, there's a reason that houses have sprinkler systems, right? Or luxury cars have airbags. I believe that my purpose is to be that safety mechanism for the world.
End of the world again, is that all you think about?
My son was born on September 26, 1983. That same day, the world almost ended.
What? I never heard about that.
Oh, you haven't? On that day, Soviet Lieutenant Colonel Stanislav Petrov saw the word launch in bright red letters on the nuclear missile early warning system. It turns out the system accidentally mistook the sun's reflection off the clouds as an attack. But Petrov didn't know. He ended up choosing not to report the computer glitch, and his split-second decision saved the world.
It was almost 40 years ago.
Tim, we've been lucky, but we're building is that sprinkler system or backup safety mechanism that you hope never gets used. But we would be silly to choose not to build, and I want my prediction to be wrong. I really do. But either way, I will ensure that those survivors will have a self-sustaining facility and a leader who can keep them together in an ELE.
And I suppose you're the leader in this ELE?
Yes, an extinction-level event.
I see.
These facilities are already getting built by a subset of elites behind the scenes. Most people just don't know about them. But the ones that I'm building are 10 steps ahead of everyone else, and they'll ensure a fair and equal society, far greater than what we have now.
You sound like you're almost looking forward to it.
I know that those other facilities won't represent humanity's best. They'll just represent humanity's most fortunate.
If there was an ELE, you don't think that people would see the mistakes that we've made and emerge in this new world to use this chance for a better society?
Tim, you're an optimist. No, I believe that this new world would be more of the same division and fighting and elitism. I believe that my clients would select people who could serve their needs and others who would sign away their legal rights in exchange for living opportunity. It would be a class system even greater than what we have now.
You think this has a realistic chance of happening?
Not today or tomorrow, but within the next 100 years? Yes. Yes, I do. At first, I thought my clients were funding this operation so they could have a secure future for their kids and grandkids. But I soon discovered that some documentation that makes me believe they may have other reasons for funding this operation.
What other reasons could that possibly be?
Tim, I hate to say, but the people I serve are dangerous. Their greatest fear isn't climate change or disease, it's something else.
Why are you really building these facilities?
What we are making behind closed doors could theoretically be used for something else if things got truly out of hand.
No way.
Now, it's not my intention, but I believe they want to corrupt my work without my knowledge. But they don't think I see it. I worry about how they use these facilities if there was ever a populist uprising that threatens the status of my clients.
Populist uprising? What are you talking about?
My clients are fighting tooth and nail to keep the general population distracted and divided for the sole purpose of preventing a revolution.
Okay, like, this is a lot. Like a real revolution.
Yes, the great resignation, isolation, people feeling like the game is rigged. There is a true shift in where people are placing their blame. And when you look at the world through the lens that I do, through that lens, that everything you are experiencing is meant to keep you distracted and divided. Because, Tim, if they ever allowed people to look at each other and see our similarities, people would find out how much we have in common and shape a world that is, in fact, more free and fair.
They're keeping us distracted. I feel like we do that to ourselves.
That's not how I see things. I see a history in which we've been forced to look at our neighbors and blame them for one reason or another, where we sit back and share frustrations and discount each other's true hurt and pain, instead of holding hands and realizing that the pain and discomfort you feel is the driving force of that blame. So instead of looking at each other and truly seeking the root cause of that unhappiness, we compare and contrast our feelings, saying, who's got it worse? instead of acknowledging that the pain that so many people feel each and every day isn't centered solely in money or country or origin, but rather because we've constructed a world in which we sap the regular person of their individual importance. Where happiness is fleeting and the only solution to despair is the person right beside you. And that's why friendships, relationships, community, and trust is being stripped away bit by bit to make you feel like you're alone. So you don't question the decisions that are being made, but I plan to remedy that.
This is what you believe?
I don't think I can make you understand right now, but keeping people apart has always been the goal. And I fear what my clients will do if people refuse to accept the status quo. You may not believe in my plan the way I do, but all I ask is that you give me a chance to prove my case. And if so, I promise I'll give you the full truth.
Thank you for saying that. I've heard that promise before.
Tim, what would make you happy? Ask me anything.
You wouldn't like it.
No, I'm serious. Anything.
Well, when this is all said and done, I want the world to know about the COVID houses. To tell them.
That's not possible.
No, no, look, no specifics or locations. I just want them to know what happened here.
All right, I ask you, if you shared this story, would it fix the broken part? Or would it just make you feel better for a day?
I'm not sure what you're getting at, but I need the world to know that this is happening.
I don't know what can save this world, but you've asked me the one thing I can't give you.
You said anything.
Tim, you can be a momentary headline on a dying world, or you can be a general in a new one. You have a different perspective that I value. And if you're interested, I'd like you to be a part of this new world that we're making right here.
I haven't given up on the old one yet, and I don't think you should either.
New recording. I believe in a free market. I believe we must combine the ingredients that unleash our ingenuity, entrepreneurship, guts, and knowledge to create the opportunities for anyone who has grit and work ethic. But for some of my clients, they want to take the easy way out. I've spent decades working with my clients, standing by their side, becoming one of them in order to earn their trust, nodding my head and agreeing with every loophole, escape clause, and contractual technicality. I've done terrible things to good people that were close to me, but each one had a purpose: to get my clients, the elites, in the same place at the same time so I can enact the fail-safe behind their back. For the first time in their lives, remind them of the daily fear that the average person feels. Now, today, I look at myself in the mirror, and I dream of the day that I can place my clients into the cold boxes in hopes that they face the final moment of realization that their lives could have had a purpose beyond measure, and they squandered it. And this will serve as their penance as I become the custodian of their finances. Some may believe that this is a chance for me to take their wealth for myself, but I'll use it to make things better and change the world as I see fit. This plan must succeed, and I'll do everything in my power to make it so.